Week 18 NFL review, folks, from the FTN Fantasy Shots and Tenier NFL podcast. Hey, it is Monday, January 5th of 2026. I am Aaron Schatz. I'm the DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy, and he is Mike Tenier, and you know him from his Substack at miketenier.substack.com. And we are here to talk about the wild week 18 in the National Football League, Black Monday, and a little bit of a preview of the playoffs. And of course, we will take your questions and comments if you are watching us live, which we do at 11 a.m. Eastern on Mondays and Thursdays, for those of you who are hearing this afterwards, as a podcast. And while we have a couple of questions already, I do want to start with Black Monday. We thought that we would come on and maybe have four or five different changes to talk about, but we have two.
Yes.
And that is Atlanta and Cleveland. So let's take Cleveland first. The argument that has been made by people is that Kevin Stefanski has reached sort of the Andy Reid in Philadelphia point where, you know, maybe everybody just needs a fresh start. There's no doubt. I kind of disagree with that, to be honest. I don't think he's quite at that point. But there's no doubt that he is going to be desired by teams that don't have head coaches. Like, he is going to be a hot guy on the market. The guy won Coach of the Year twice.
Right.
Andrew Berry is staying as GM. I always have a little bit of a trouble. One of the problems with now doing this for a living for 20 years is you get to know people. And right. Andrew Berry is a good guy. Mm-hmm. And I know people in the analytics department at Cleveland that I do not want to slag.
No.
And I do not feel that either the analytics department nor Andrew Berry was responsible for the Deshaun Watson trade. It is very likely that was all an ownership call.
That guy is in Colorado with a different sport. We don't have to worry about him.
Stefanski, I don't know if the Browns can do better.
I don't know if they can do better. It's kind of not quite the Andy Reid situation, as you've been here for like so much failure that it's sort of seeped in, soaked in. That you being the person who tries to turn things around, there's a level of credibility you might not have with some of the veterans. I don't necessarily buy it, but like you said, Stefanski's going to win.
He's going to go to a better team, right? Like he's going to go to the Raiders, who have the number one pick, or he's going to go to the Giants, who have Jackson Dart, or he's going to go to the Titans, who have Cam Ward.
Or he's going to be a coordinator for a year while he plans his next move, if he chooses to. And he'll be coordinating in, I don't know, his hometown. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
I am trying to manifest this.
Yeah. the other big is everybody out in Atlanta.
Everybody.
Everybody. CEO Rich McKay out. GM Terry Fontenot out. Head coach Raheem Morris out.
Yes.
And apparently Matt Ryan is coming in to run the whole show, which I have absolutely no idea. We all have absolutely no idea what Matt Ryan will do as an executive or whether he's a good executive. Sometimes these former players come in and they are very good executives like John Lynch. Sometimes they come in and just their gravity, like John Elway attracting Peyton Manning to Denver. Otherwise, John Elway did not have a great track record, but attracting Peyton Manning to Denver was enough to build that team to attract defensive players. And then the defensive players won them a Super Bowl. So that was pretty awesome. Other former players have become executives like Matt Millen and been terrible failures.
Yes.
So we have absolutely no idea whether Matt Ryan is a good executive or not.
Here's my take so far as this is evolving. If Matt Ryan is coming in as a cog in the machine, I can see bringing him as a cog in the machine. They just got rid of the entire machine. Then they're bringing him in, and then they're going to build the machine around the inexperienced, figureheady guy who's been in a booth for a couple of years. There's a difference saying we're bringing him as team president and he's going to be there, but we've already got these experienced pieces in place. It's a very strange configuration. Layered on top of that is the fact that they have very publicly hired all these consulting firms to go out and find the other guys. Well, if Matt Ryan is in charge, then why isn't he finding the other guys? And if the consulting firms are out there finding these guys, then why bring Matt Ryan in and have them sort of build the furniture around the rug.
And plus, whoever comes in is now saddled with this complicated quarterback situation where we don't know if Michael Penix will be ready for the start of the year, and we don't know if he's actually good, and Kirk Cousins is pretty much done, and it's a mess.
It's a mess.
It's a mess that somehow went 8-9 with a vastly improved pass rush, but that has no first-round pick next year.
Right, and they went 8-9 in that division where you can get a false read about where you really stand because you're playing – all your other goofy teams.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second. I'll take a couple of questions here. Clip Zone Sports wants to know how bad the Rams defense has been over the last five or six games. And has the Seattle offense been bad the last month or so? Because it seems like every NFC playoff team is flawed on one side of the ball or the other. Yes, the Rams' defense has been only average over the last five or six games, although I looked and their worst game out of the last six games is six games ago. It's not last week or the week before. It's week 13.
Which one was week 13?
I would have to look specifically.
I can look that up real quick. The Falcons game in particular was a 97,000-yard run by Bijan and a pick six. And a snowball situation. That wasn't that week a game. Week 13 was the Panthers game with the two fourth down bombs by Bryce Young.
And Seattle's offense has definitely declined over the last couple months, but not as much as you think because their running game put it together at the same time the passing game declined. Plus, their defense has been better over the last 2 months. So you don't notice as much how much the passing game has declined.
I do agree with his overall statement. There are teams that are really flawed on one side of the ball or the other. There are injury ravaged teams, and there's the Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is every team, no team seems like they're running away with the thing this year, despite the fact that DVOA loves the Seahawks and loves the Rams. We all question Darnold, and we all feel like the Rams have had some iffy moments, and it feels like it's anybody's game this year. Let's talk about the NFC South briefly. The Buccaneers-Panthers game, my favorite was the announcer saying, the one big thing the Buccaneers can't do is let Tetroa McMillan get behind them for a big play, immediately followed by Tetroa McMillan getting behind them for a big play on 4th and 8.
Okay. Yes, but the four times earlier, they called him for offensive pass interference when it happened in that game. My favorite part of that is when the referee said the ball went out of bounds when there's a guy standing there in bounds holding the ball after the
whistle. Yeah, that was there's been some very strange refereeing.
Yeah.
And then Atlanta and New Orleans played the game that actually decided the division, which, by the way, was a reverse post-game win expectancy game. Falcons at 32%. But they won, and so Carolina goes to the playoffs.
They pretty much won on a big interception late in the game. It was a very mucky game. In light of all this, it sounds like Todd Bowles' job is safe, which I guess is a moderate surprise. I think we got the announcement also Zach Taylor's job was safe.
Yes, Cincinnati did say today that Zach Taylor is. And then the other one is that Joe Shane is staying as the GM for the Giants.
Sure, sure. Okay, that's fine. Post-game win expectancy, you mentioned the on the internet, the Bengals-Browns. That was a monster.
The Bengals-Browns game,
yes,
which featured Myles Garrett setting the sack record,
yes,
was the sixth strangest post-game win expectancy of all time. The Browns had a post-game win expectancy of 1.1%. They were outgained 364 to 200. And it was only a turnover margin of minus one.
Right, but it was two defensive touchdowns and then turtle ball and a lot of Burrow driving for like 40-some yards and ending in a punt or a turnover.
And Garrett setting the sack record. Both of us talked about that when it happened. It looked at first like maybe Burrow went down for him on purpose, but then you watched it again and you were like, oh, this is what quarterbacks used to do and don't really do anymore. Mm-hmm. Which is that when they realize that they're got, they make a business decision and are like, all right, I don't want to get smacked in the face. Let's just get to the next down. Jim Everett used to do it, and Drew Bledsoe used to do it. And he didn't give it. Garrett beat his guy badly on that play. Like, it was not a gift.
No. No, it wasn't a gift. And right, it's not just a business decision. Both hands on the ball. May you fall a little forward so you don't do a 20-yard backwards scramble from hell, a hero ball play. But whatever the motivation was, congratulations to Garrett. And I don't need to hear truthers talking about how Mark Gastineau or somebody else deserves the record. The record is the record.
Al Baker deserves the record.
Okay, Bubba Baker.
Al Baker, Bubba. 1978, as a rookie, rookie, had 23 unofficial sacks.
Right, but if we want to start line item vetoing these things, it's like, well, it was the new rule.
What I definitely feel is that I think I like the pre-82 numbers, but it should be a tie because I don't care that there are more games in the season. If we went around asterisking every freaking record now that there are 17 games in the season and then did it again when we inevitably go to 18 games in a season 4 or 5 years from now, please let's not do that. Thank you.
Let alone, well, how many pass snaps and things like that. The number is the number is the number.
Right. The record is 23. That is the record.
Yes.
Case 9300 wants to know, is Josh McDaniels actually a good offensive coordinator or just a beneficiary of Drake May? I have two words for you. Mac Jones.
Oh, brother. Here we go.
The fact that he made Mac Jones look good. Right? We all feel like the fact that Kyle Shanahan can make Mac Jones look good is an example of how amazing Kyle Shanahan is. Well, the same with Josh McDaniels. It's not like he's only done this with Brady and May. He made Mac Jones look good. And then he left, and then Mac Jones pumpkin on it.
For about six games against a really soft schedule.
That is not true. That team had a much harder schedule than this year's game. Much harder. That Browns, for example, they stomped the Browns. That was a good defense, that Browns.
Oh, brother. We're going back.
They had some guy named Miles Garrett. Do you know that guy?
Yeah, I know that guy, Miles Garrett. He's on a team right now that stinks to high heaven.
That plays great defense.
And loses games 31-3 and hands the ball back.
Last in offense and special
teams. Hands the ball back to the opponent's
doofus quarterback. Last in offense and special teams. Okay. By the way, just the other thing that noticed yesterday from going to the Patriots game, my God, did Quinn Ewers have the GIMP game plan? Oh, my God, so many screens. I think he had two downfield passes, one of which he hit and the other one was picked. Everything was screens. He is not an NFL quarterback.
Well, I mean, it was only a slight variation on the Tua game plan, to be honest, especially the no Tyreek Tua game plan.
Yeah, the no Tyreek Tua game plan. No Tyreek, no Waddle.
Yeah, right. They had nothing. They literally had nothing. But Quinn Ewers, not an NFL quarterback. Brady Cook, not an NFL quarterback. Ladies and gentlemen, your 2025 New England Patriots opponents.
So, yeah, let's talk about all the DVOA records because this has been a really weird season. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been a really weird season for close games. It's been a really weird season for teams over and underperforming their underlying stats. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of best and worst evers this year.
Right.
And not all of them involve the Jets. So I wrote them all down. Here we go. Okay. Seattle is the seventh best DVOA ever, and the Rams are ninth. And I know how weird that seems.
Yes,
and I know that it's weird that the last 3 years we've had these teams have these super ridiculous regular seasons.
Right.
But Seattle, again, it's the same kind of deal as the Ravens the last couple of years. When you go back and look, Seattle has had dominant wins over good teams.
Right.
They have the best defense in the league. Mm-hmm. Their offense was like the best in the league for the first 2 months and then declined.
Right.
And their special teams are fantastic. They're just an all-around really good team. Like, even though we are all questioning Darnold once we get to the playoffs, this is only measuring the regular season. They've been a really good team.
A 14-win team in a tough division. That's what we're talking about with the Seahawks, 14-win team in a tough division. The idea that, like, they're not – I guess being historic feels weird. Like, being that historic does feel weird.
Yeah.
But the idea, like, how can this be the best team, Sam Darnold?
Because if you go back, and you look at some of the teams we think of as some of the best teams ever, like the Cowboys triplets teams, mm-hmm. You would be surprised how many close games they were winning.
I would be surprised. I remember those teams just murdering everybody.
Because it sounds like they murdered everybody, but they didn't. Right. They didn't. Right. Seattle with the 12th best defense ever.
That sounds right.
Browns, ninth worst offense.
Sounds right. Kevin Stefanski is free at last.
And the Raiders... drafted a running back sixth overall so they could have the eighth worst run offense DVOA.
Oh, that's 1978. That's stunning. That's stunning. Because Janty, when you watch him.
No, it's not his fault.
He can play. Right.
He has a lot of broken tackles. They had no run blocking at all. And the play calling just did not work.
Right.
Cowboys with the fourth worst defense.
Wow. If only they could have done something about that at the beginning of the year.
And because their defense was balanced how bad it was, both run and pass, it's the Jets who had the second worst pass defense DVOA ever, ahead of only the 81 Baltimore Colts.
The 81 Baltimore Colts I wrote about many, 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 many years ago, who gave up like 5,000 yards.
The Jets' pass defense was so bad. So bad. And that doesn't even account for the fact that when I adjust them for playing the Bills, I'm not adjusting them for playing the Bills' backups.
Wow. Well, they tied me for interceptions this year.
Both of us combined.
Yeah, the both Jets, of us combined.
Had the sixth best special teams unit.
Nice.
Which means if you take out special teams, they are the third worst team since 1978.
And Aaron Glenn's job is safe.
Aaron Glenn's job is safe. Yeah.
I mean, I know the whole thing with one and done coaches, et cetera, but like, I can't see the thing he did right this year, except I guess let his special teams coordinator run that side of the ball.
The Patriots with the third easiest schedule since 1978.
Right. Now, are you going to caveat that with the 99 Rams had one of the easiest too? Or
it is true. The two teams with easier schedules than them both made the Super Bowl, the 91 Bills and the 99 Rams. So they are still in this thing. And also, we'll get to this, they are peaking now.
Right. Well, I mean,
okay. But anybody who wants to, I the hand waving from Patriots fans about the schedule, and gee, you only play who they're, guys, it's a really freaking easy schedule. Like, can we please be realistic about this?
I get it, because they're fighting back against a-holes like me who have to keep poking about it. So being defensive and all, I get it. But yeah, like, we can't wrap our brains around how easy the schedule is.
Look at the quarterbacks that this defense faced. It's the defense. It's not May. It's the defense. I mean, May played a pretty easy schedule by DVOA, the Jets, twice. But it's the defense that looks good but is not really good.
Right. Down to the fact where you look at, like, the Bengals game, and it's like, oh, that was Flacco and no Jamar Chase and no Higgins for half the game.
And Quinn Ewers and Brady Cook.
You're not even catching the two Dolphins the second time around, et cetera. Yeah.
The Colts had the best DVOA ever for a team with a losing record.
And everyone's job is safe there, including Chris Ballard. It was
crazy. They were so good the first 2 months, and nobody saw that coming, and then they completely collapsed. And I'm not going to say nobody saw that coming, because we were all like, what the hell is going on here? But obviously injuries played a very big role in that.
Right. And not only were you pointing that out, but you're pointing out the difficulty of the schedule in the second half. And a lot of us were pointing that schedule. It's like, it's going to get harder. They're going to fade. And then Daniel Jones is playing with a broken leg. Like at some point along the way, there should have been, like, I don't know, coaching something, an adjustment to prevent what happened.
Oh, I have news, but we're almost through this. Let me get through this, and then we have news.
Uh-oh.
Lions and Colts, 7th and 10th best teams to miss the playoffs. Rams, first in adjusted line yards ever, with the Bills 4th and the Bears 6th. Puka Nacua, 2nd highest DYAR season ever for a wide receiver. Jackson Smith Njigba, 11th.
Who was number one all time?
Cooper Kupp.
Oh, okay.
And CMC, the 3rd highest receiving value ever for a running back. Pete Carroll fired.
Yep.
That's one I expected when we said that we expected 4 or 5 of them before the show. This is one I expect. I guess they're on Pacific time zone, but I expected this actually to come in earlier. They're starting over and putting Brady fully in charge.
Brady and the Brady team, Brady is going to be taking over. And we'll see who that means as a head coach. It can't be Josh McDaniels, because they're not going to go back to that. It can't be Todd Bowles. I'm trying to go through the list of who Brady.
I mean, someone said Brian Flores.
Yeah. That'd be a good coach. And
I mean, and you know, I'm a big give Brian Flores another chance.
Give him another chance. The fact that he hated Tua or whatever, it seems like that there's a lot of that going around. And
no, also, yeah. I mean, you know,
you learn from that. You're like, oh yeah, I handled that poorly. You go in. And then you do have, like, if Brady's running things, an infrastructure to kind of make sure, like, dude, don't get carried away screaming at the QB, man. You know,
I can't say that I watched enough Raiders to be able to be like, yeah, the problem here was the coaching. Versus like, oh, wow, we made a big mistake. We thought Geno Smith was going to rebound, and it turned out that he collapsed.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and then already our defense was, you know, just Max Crosby. The defense wasn't even bad this year. Their defense was like 19th or something.
The listlessness in most weeks, and then you look at the defensive personnel, and you can see this mix of Carroll guys and old Buccaneers and some old Patriots. And you realize that it's something the Raiders have been doing for years. They threw a bunch of veterans out there that, like, the coaches or the GM knew. And they were surprised that, like, oh, you know, Jamal Adams and Landon Roberts aren't getting the job done. And Devin White, that's pretty shocking. What a surprise.
It was more the offense that didn't get the job done. And Chip Kelly did a bad job. And they couldn't run the ball, and they had no receivers. And then they traded Jacoby Myers, and then they really had no receivers. Right. And yes, Big Cheese asks, are they trading Crosby? God, I would think they should not do that. But if they can get a lot for him, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what Max Crosby wants.
Yeah.
Does he want to play for a contender? Does he want to be assistant GM? Does he want to be the head coach?
Make a bunch of money.
Make a bunch of money and be the head coach at Eastern Michigan on Saturdays. I don't know what Crosby wants. He might just sort of be happy making the money, getting the accolades, and doing his thing.
All right. So I have here the playoff teams ranked by Dave. This is what goes into – I'm now using Dave all year, because what we're doing is we are slightly discounting defense and special teams because they are a little bit less predictive than offense.
Okay.
So this is weighted DVOA. Yeah. Slightly discounting defense and special teams, adjusted for week 18.
All right.
And for a couple of other things. Panthers, 14.
Surprising. 16th out of 14. Go ahead.
Chargers, 13.
Patriots,
12.
Patriots get another week.
What were you going to say?
Patriots get another week draw.
Yeah, this is a week draw, honestly.
Packers next.
Packers, 12.
Okay.
Steelers 11.
Yeah, I mean, that was a thing that happened last night.
That was quite an ending. I feel bad for Loop. I feel bad for Boswell. I feel bad when kickers miss easy kicks. You know, Isaiah Likely made the play. He made the play, and then they switched hash marks. They kneeled down on one hash mark and. They needed to kneel down on the other hash mark. They kneeled down on the right hash mark, and they should have kneeled down on the left hash mark.
Right. Who knows?
I mean, it was a Steelers game. You know, it was a typical Steeler, except without Metcalf. They're a better team with Metcalf. I mean, they're going to be. Sure. Again, when I say anybody can win this year, I mean anybody except the Panthers. Like, the Steelers absolutely could go here on a run with Metcalf and the defense playing well. Like, they could.
They could beat Houston. I think a lot of the second half of that game for the Steelers defense was Hamilton out. Was it Wiggins
out? For the
offense,
you mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like guys are just breaking tackles left and right because the Ravens, again, out of dudes in the secondary, and they ran out of dudes in
the defense. But you get Metcalf back, and you get a much better receiver than they had otherwise, right? Like, I mean, you know, I think that balances out.
They have more of an – they have a downfield opportunity that they don't have without him.
So Steelers 11, Bears 10.
Okay, they're interesting coming into the playoffs.
Broncos 9. That is adjusted for playing Trey Lance.
Okay.
Or else they would be higher.
Their offense was bad even by Broncos offense standards yesterday.
49ers and Eagles tied for 7th.
Well, ain't that a thing?
And that is adjusted a little bit for Lane Johnson's return and not counting week 18 for the Eagles.
Okay.
But I think that's proper, because if you look at the splits with Lane Johnson on and off, they're tremendous. I may not be accounting for it enough, to be frank. Right. And week 18. Now, let me ask you a question. As an Eagles fan, Do you think they should have played their starters and tried to get the number two seed?
I feel like the injury report was lying to us, and Jalen Hurts is more banged up than they let on. I think Landon Dickerson needed a week off. So based on that, then they made the right decision. Also, I look at the banged up as hell Packers, and like, how different are they really? I mean, they're weaker, clearly, from what you're telling me. The banged up as hell and still developing 49ers in terms of, well, the Eagles want like a favorable draw. You got a team that'll be going out there, all the other injuries. Trent Williams might be less than 100%. Brock Purdy as a stinger. I don't know if the Packers are the easiest team right now.
Yeah. Almost tied with the Eagles and 49ers. Slightly ahead of them, the Bills.
Okay.
I have no idea how to consider yesterday's game for the Bills, because that is a game in which they played their backups and the other team tried.
Right.
But the other team was so bad.
Yes.
So we're adjusting for how bad the other team is. But they clobbered the Jets worse than almost anybody has clobbered the Jets other than the Patriots. And it's just, I don't quite know what to do with it.
It's the Bills are the Bills. You know that like 3 weeks out of four or 2 weeks out of three, they're the best team in the NFL. And then that other week comes. And when it comes.
Texans 4, Jaguars 3. I mentioned them both only to point out that the Bills are favored in Jacksonville, which my numbers disagree with. And that is, I think, the Josh Allen effect.
That's the Josh Allen effect. And the trustworthiness in playoff games of that team versus a relative unknown in the playoffs in the Jaguars.
But we were talking about teams that have a gap on one side of the ball or the other. Right now, the team that seems the most balanced is the Jaguars.
It's the Jaguars. Yes.
Not necessarily the best, but the most balanced.
Yes. Very good passing game. Running game's kind of okay. Could be getting a little better if they get Tutin back. Defense overall playing very well. Mistakes have been limited. And they kick like a 63-yard field goal every other week.
So, Texans 5, Jaguars 4, Patriots 3.
Wow.
They are hot right now. They are playing their best football right now. Yes, against bad opponents. But instead of the narrow wins against bad opponents that they had in the middle of the season, they are now destroying bad opponents, absolutely clobbering bad opponents. They still only have one win all year against a team with a winning record, which is the Bills.
Which is the Bills. They had a loss to the Steelers. And those are their only games against opponents with winning records, aren't they?
Yep.
Those are the only two games against winning.
Three games because they played the Bills twice, and they're 1-2 in those games, but one of those games was 4 months ago, so it doesn't really matter.
Right. And the last 2 weeks, they have played seventh round and undrafted quarterbacks.
Go on, a big gap, and then this is Dave. So this is less weight for defense and special teams. Mm-hmm. So Seahawks 2, mm-hmm. Rams 1.
Right.
Weighted DVOA, it's the other way around. But if you give a little bit more weight to offense, and I think that's also how we're all thinking going into the playoffs, because we're thinking about trusting Stafford versus trusting Darnold.
Yes.
That if the Rams played the Seahawks right now, you'd put whoever was home ahead, but
probably
put the Rams ahead slightly.
Right. And that's probably how we would do it. And that's how we think about these other teams like the Eagles. Well, do you trust this offense? The Broncos, do you trust Bo Nix, et cetera? But now it's the difference, of course, between a team that has to play two home games to reach the Super Bowl and a team that has to play three road games.
Yes, which is a big, big difference.
Yes.
All right. Initial thoughts. Panthers-Rams.
Rams.
I mean, I think that the fact that the Rams lost to the Panthers is weird. It's very unlikely to be repeated.
Agreed.
Bears-Packers.
The Bears frustrate and vex me, but the Packers are just beaten up and bad on defense, and I haven't seen Jordan Love in 3 weeks, so I have to lean Bears.
I'm kind of going with you also. I think the Packers were the better team for the year, but when you look at where those teams are now,
right?
I think you have to, especially in Chicago, you do have to lean Bears a little bit. It's fun that matchup is playoff matchup. That's great. Right. Fun.
And I keep going back to the fact that the Packers were in command of both of those games until the end.
Yeah.
And won one and lost one. And then the Lions were in command of that game this week.
The Packers are favored, by the way, by like a point and a half.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Sunday, 1 o'clock, Jaguars and Bills.
Chaos.
I mean, the numbers would say Jaguars. I think right. It's more 50-50, even in Jacksonville. But the Jaguars have been playing really freaking well. And their defense, Campanile, is a really good defensive coordinator.
Right, right. You look at that personnel and you're like, that's all right. And they're really getting the job done. The Bills are the better team on their best day, but when is the Bills' best day? The Jaguars now for 2 months have been consistently playing at a high level. So it's a matter of the more you do that, the more you think, okay, all that problems in September, October, that was new coach, new scheme, trying to integrate Hunter instead of doing something more fundamental, and they're better now.
And a lot of the inconsistency is Josh Allen going to be Superman or not?
Right, right. And will they just run the hell out of the ball, or will they spend the first half trying out all of the little corners and nooks and crannies of the playbook like they so often do?
4 p.m., San Francisco at Philadelphia. Who's injured?
Right. That's it, because the 49ers go out there. Trent Williams is here. Ricky Pearsall is here. Purdy's having no ill effects from anything. And they found 11 defensive guys who are healthy. It's like, Eagles could be in trouble there.
Yeah, it's definitely the Eagles' offense. This is the tonic for the Eagles' offense, to play the 49ers' defense, right? If they can't get back on track, they do not deserve to get to the next round.
Exactly. No pass rush. No one should be able to match up. It should be just go out and cut across the middle. We'll throw it to you. The most basic offense should get the job done. I really think Williams being out, what that did to the Niners, in addition to the fact that they were playing the Seattle Seahawks defense, that really was like we are out of options now if we can't at least trust the offensive line. So we'll see next week.
That was one of the five best defensive games of the year by DVOA for Seattle.
Beating. It was
it really was a beatdown.
Right.
Sunday night, Los Angeles Chargers at the Patriots.
You know what I'm calling this.
You're calling this the Mike Denier make fun of you bowl as well.
My hobby horse bowl. So I'm going to be wrong either way. Either Justin Herbert wins a playoff game or the Patriots prove that they're not total schedule frauds. Although, if you flip it the other way, I'm right either way.
Now, that's true. And then Monday night, Houston at Pittsburgh.
Houston's going to win. I'm sorry. I know we were talking about how the Steelers are going to go on a run. Aaron Rodgers wants no parts of being
out this there. Defense. No,
no parts of that defense. He doesn't want. Right.
But on the other hand, this Pittsburgh pass rush against that Houston offensive line.
Yeah, if the Steelers win, it's going to be by a 9-6 final score.
I mean, we feel that way, but then look at the Baltimore Pittsburgh game last night. It ended up high scoring. So there's a couple of broken coverages, I guess. That's the thing, though. The Baltimore broken coverage. Houston is not going to break coverages the way Baltimore did.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, well, Stingley and Laster get hurt. Yeah, okay, it's a different game, but that's not going to happen.
All right. That does it for today's show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for watching us live. We will be back Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern to actually do more of a hardcore statistical preview of the first five games, and then we'll leave Monday night for next Monday.
Makes sense.
So we will see you guys, 11 a.m. Thursday. For Mike Tenier, I am Aaron Schatz. So long, everybody.